And now, more tips with your host, Rebecca, on lifestyle improvement.
And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and it's not to be interpreted as medical advice. Hello and welcome to our program, Lifestyle Improvement, your caregiver support program with ideas and hopefully helpful information that can help you better manage the stressors of everyday life. I am your host and fellow caregiver, Rebecca. Welcome to part two of our interview with Patty Cassidy in Lifestyle Improvement. Plants that can make a sound? Tell me a little bit more about that. That's really interesting.
Well, we have a wonderful ground cover, which is called, the common name is pig squeak. And it's a very thick leathery leaf that when you rub it together, it makes the sound of a pig squeaking. And so it's very fun, and everyone smiles about it. And kids love it, you know, and again, I might say that when I'm doing these sessions in the memory garden and doing things such as making noises with plants or using them for smells, I'm trying to model to the caregivers what they can do when they're back in their community. So if they're at a loss of how to get one of their patients calmed down or engaged, and if they have a garden in their community, they can go out there and pick some rosemary or lavender and replicate what I did in the memory garden.
So, Patty, another study that I read about in the Journal of Holistic Nursing, published in December of 2013, in this particular study, they were trying to find out how gardening worked, the effect of gardening in homeless women. And they found out that gardening experience interrupted the participants' negative ruminations, offering stress relief and elements of social inclusion and self-actualization. So in other words, gardening seemed to be an inexpensive and positive intervention for a population with a high-risk incidence of mental health and distress.
Well, I think, you know, citing homeless women having that experience is wonderful. I think it can be applied to many groups who feel disenfranchised or who feel like they have low skill set or who they're marginalized. Working in a garden and creating something from nothing can be extremely life-giving, can give people hopes for the future, positive anticipatory feelings. And so I think gardening is that very basic activity where you are planting a seed and you're nourishing it and you're watching it and you're hoping. And then you have the joy of seeing it grow. So that, you know, that you had that effect on a little seed is, you know, probably very rewarding to people who have not been very successful in their lives or have found themselves in situations where they're not really meeting the expectations they wanted to. And that's why I think even having people take care of plants, even one house plant, it gives them something that to do, something that needs them. They're in control. You know, women who are gardening, homeless women who are gardening, they have choices. You know, they can choose what they're going to plant, how they're going to take care of it, what they're going to plant. Is it going to be a flower or a vegetable? You know, a lot of people who are marginalized don't have a lot of choices in their life.
How about teenagers? How do you think that would affect this particular developmental stage in life?
I've not worked with teenagers in a horticultural therapy milieu, but I have worked with elementary children who were from abused and neglected homes and created a garden at their site with them. And each child had their own 1 foot square garden bed that they were in charge of. And again, I think all of the fundamentals that I mentioned earlier about working, the homeless women working in gardens, applies to all levels and all ages. You give somebody something living to care about that's theirs, and that's their responsibility. And you do that with guidance, and you know, of course, you're giving them skills and information, but allowing them and trusting them that they are going to be the nurturers of this area, really, it does empower them. And I can imagine for some of the programs in Portland now, they're doing a lot of food to table programs and community gardens. And they're having school children, you know, elementary, middle school children, actually going out to these farms and farming. I think a lot of our kids don't even really know what a beet looks like in there. It might come out of a can to them, but they don't know what a beet really looks like in the ground. And so for a lot of students, getting them out into a garden is a very brand new experience. So, of course, I think everyone should be out gardening and connecting with nature and the life cycles. I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned about themselves when they are engaged in those kind of activities.
So it may be a good thing if classrooms had plans. Not only would it be a beautiful and inviting environment for kids, but I also did come across some studies that stated that having plants around you actually helped increase your attentiveness.
That's right. And it's something that can be observed and measured. And if you don't water, what are the effects? There's cause and effect lessons to be learned. And it also teaches children about what things need to survive, you know, and what do we need to survive? You know, we need food and the sun and water. And those are sort of basic things that, you know, a child can provide to a plant. And make those connections that they need those things as well. So they should be outside and not inside a lot because they're probably going to thrive more if they're out in the sun and getting exercise. And so, you know, I think there's, you know, depending, it should be age appropriate, but I think there's a lot of metaphors that can be used to instruct children about life using plants.
So what would you tell somebody that maybe is considering gardening this year, but just needs a little bit of motivation to get started after they hear all this information? They may think that this is probably something that may be good to get started with this year. What would you tell them to encourage them to take that next step?
Well, I might suggest that you think about what's some of your favorite food, vegetable, for example, and how can you produce that for yourself and not go to the store? And, you know, we can grow almost everything in a container now. You can grow lettuce in a container. You can even put blueberries in big containers. So there's really ways, if you are motivated, to try just to grow one of your favorite foods or vegetables. That might be an incentive. I would even say if you don't want to burden yourself with a living plant that you'll have to take care of, then I would suggest you find a way to drive home from your stressful job where you are looking at trees or you're looking at a field. Get off the highway. There is research that proves that people who drive through tree-lined streets or near a park have less stress when they get out of the car than if they were staying on highways with cement and no nature. Or when you get out of your car, decide just to walk around the block and look at if there's a neighbor who has a great yard. Go to that yard and track what's happening in that yard. Find a tree that has four seasons of interest and observe the tree and see what the tree is doing every season. I mean, there are little ways of connecting yourself with nature, and maybe that is all you need, and maybe it also would be the incentive to try something on your own. I mean, I don't want people to fail at growing things. I think that also can be very demoralizing. You know, people will say to me, oh, I have a brown thumb. I can't grow anything. And that we don't want people to have failure, and we want people to be successful. And I think, you know, I think we call it passive gardening or passive horticultural therapy, you know, just sitting and observing a beautiful tree or a beautiful scene or the bird feeder or a bird bath can do the same things for people. It can be calming and it can connect them with another world other than their stressful tech world of technology and illness and demands.
Thank you, Patty. So I know that one of the most important things that you wanted today is for people that had never heard about horticultural therapy to get an idea what this field was all about. So give us your summary of one of the most important things that you would want us to remember from this interview.
Well, I think the important thing I want people to know about horticultural therapy is that it is a time-proven profession that provides treatment modalities through trained professional people. We are not just people who love to garden and will sit by you and talk about gardening. We are a profession of trained people who have skills to help people in all areas of their lives and with all of their issues. So I want that to be very clear that we are, you know, a proven profession that can assist people. We can help because we know how to evaluate clients. We know how to set goals for them. We know how to measure goals and outcomes, and we can increase people's awareness on how to help themselves. We want people to leave our therapeutic sessions more independent and more self-assured. We don't want them to become dependent on us. We're trying to create people who can now go out into the world and use the skills they learned with us and do it for themselves and hopefully share it with others.
This is your host, Rebecca. And now we will take a short break, and we will be right back with more ideas on lifestyle improvement.
A unique and specialized approach to spinal care is what you will find in the Advanced Spinal Care Clinic in Graham, Washington. Here's Dr. Craig Lipinski explaining why Nuka Care is unlike any other treatment.
Our goal is that we're making a specialized correction to the skull, the atlas, and the neck of each individual that is custom made or custom and specific created to get them healthy and then have them stay that way.
One of only 23 board certified Nuka practitioners in the world, Dr. Craig Lipinski offers you care that can significantly impact your health in positive ways.
This week we've seen somebody in here who's had a 50-point drop in blood pressure by having the skull, atlas, and neck corrected to a proper position.
To find out more about how Nuka Care can change your life, visit www.nuccawashington.com or call 253-445-8181.
And finally, the way you can find us is you should visit the American Horticultural Therapy Association website, which is ahta.org. There is a lot of information on there for the general public who can learn more about horticultural therapy, who we are. There's ways of connecting with the national office, which is in Philadelphia. And just like you, Rebecca, If somebody calls that office and needs a horticultural therapist in a certain area, if we're there, we can connect you. We're all over the country. We're all over the world, actually. But there's about 500 strong of us who are members of AHTA in the United States.
So now I would like to probably get a little more personal and ask you, what was the moment or what convinced you to take a step in your life to make horticultural therapy your life mission?
Maybe 18 years ago, my niece in New York was coming to the end of her life because she had cystic fibrosis. And she was 3,000 miles from me. And so I decided to wait on the West Coast because I thought she could have a lung transplant in California. So I was going to be the West Coast support team here. And for that week, while we waited for that transplant to happen, I could do nothing but garden. That's the only thing my psyche would let me do. My emotions could handle only gardening. And so I was literally gardening from dawn to dusk for a week. And my niece died, and we got through that. And when I came back from her funeral, I was sort of full of myself. And I said, oh, there must be something about therapeutic gardens that I could get involved in, because I know all about them now. And so I Googled therapeutic gardens, and I came, one of the first sites that came up was horticultural therapy program that was a course at Good Samaritan Hospital in Portland, Oregon. Now, what are the chances that what I needed was right in my hometown? And I called the director of the program, who has been a great mentor to me, Teresa Hazen, and asked if I could get into the class that was starting. And I had missed the deadline, but she was gracious to me and said that there had been a cancellation and I could come in and interview with her. And literally 3 days later, I was in the horticultural therapy certificate program with her. So that started in 2005, and I finished the program in 2008. And my life just took on a totally new direction and emphasis. So it was a wonderful way to honor my niece, which because of needing to connect with her in that way, I'm now a horticultural therapist.
So that very personal experience would have been your turning point.
It would, Rebecca, and I just didn't realize how, that there was this body of knowledge developing about horticulture and how it can assist people in, all the stresses of their life. And I wanted to know more about it. And so I'm very glad that I have this foundation now where, of course, I know that being in nature is therapeutic, but now I know it in a different way and in a more evidence-based way, which just gives it a lot more substance for me to, shore up my belief and my commitment to the field.
So you are an author as well, and you have written a book on the subject. Would you tell us a little bit more about your book?
So the book never would have happened had I not become a horticultural therapist. So again, everything that I've done since 2005 is I owe to that that window that was open to me. So I was able to be working in a memory care and assisted living community in Vancouver, Washington. And it was a very vibrant community, and the residents there embraced what I was doing with the people, and more people wanted to join the group. And I offered to write two articles for their in-house newsletter about horticultural therapy and what it meant in this particular community and how people could get involved. And these two, really two paragraph articles were published in their little resident newsletter. And maybe 3 months later, I went to teach one of my classes there, and one of the administrators came up with an email that he had gotten from a publisher in England saying that she had Googled gardening for seniors, and my two articles showed up on the internet. And she was inviting me to consider writing a book about gardening for seniors because there really wasn't one in anywhere. So I, of course, came home to my husband, who is a writer and an editor, and I said, I can't do this. I've never written a book. And he said, of course you can. You know the work. I can help you. I can help with the editing. And anyway, Rebecca, 3 years later, I had this book in my hand. It's really a practical guide. It's called the Illustrated Practical Guide to Gardening for Seniors. And it's really a guide for keeping people gardening in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. I really try to make this book accessible to all ages by talking about adaptive gardening, adaptive tools, being safe so you don't hurt yourself, so you have to stop gardening, how to pace yourself when you're gardening so you don't overdo it and then get discouraged. So for everything from the sort of physical and psychological well-being to, you know, what tools to use and how to use your tools differently and what tools not to use. And then I give projects that are easy to do but have high success rates. There's a plant directory that I compiled with plants that were low maintenance but had high value, so people would feel successful with the plant, but it was not too hard to take care of. So it's a very comprehensive book, and I have to say my editor in England was wonderful, and she had a lot of ideas that would inspire me to write more on a subject. So again, I was in the right place at the right time, and ever since I've gotten involved in this field, I've kind of said yes to everything that's come my way. I just feel like I don't have, a lot of time left in my life. And everything that's been offered to me are things that I may not know everything about, but they seem doable to me. And so I've had some great experiences since I've gotten involved in horticultural therapy. And this book is, I'm very proud of it. It's opened some nice doors for me.
And Patty, if one wants to purchase your book, how does one go about that?
Well, they can go to my website and they can order it on my website. So my website is www.pattycassidy.com, and Patty with a Y.
So if maybe someone has either mom or grandma that used to love gardening, but maybe now they're having some difficulties with their body or having to do some more problem solving about it, this book could certainly be somewhat of a guide to help them get through some of those hurdles.
I think so. I think it would be great.
Patty, I know that you do some educating as well and some presentations. And so if someone wants to get a hold of you and would like to come, have you come and do presentations or maybe ask questions about the field, how can they get a hold of you? Do you have an email or a phone number they can call?
Sure. I'd be happy to share my email. And that is Cassidy, C-A-S-S-I-D-Y, P like in Patty, G like in Grace, @comcast.net.
Patty, thank you so much for coming to Lifestyle Improvement and telling us this information and educating us about the field. I think that there's a lot of benefits to what you have shared with us, and especially for the elderly population. I think that there's definitely a lot that they probably can get out of that book. So thank you so much for coming to us, and I hope you come and visit again.
I really appreciate the ability to help us get more recognition and more interest, because I think as we age and as this society ages, we have a great horticultural therapists are a great resource for this group in particular. And so thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share that information.
And thank you for listening to Lifestyle Improvement. And if you would like to advertise with us, give us a call at 877-957-7387, extension 101. That again is 877-957-7387, extension 101. Or send us an email to producer@lifestyleimprovement.com. That again is producer@lifestyleimprovement.com.
And join us again next Sunday morning from 7:30 to 8 for more tips on lifestyle improvement.